So I have a question. So, oh, yeah. First, is there a second to the proposed amendment? So Councilman Napa, seconds. So my question for the solicitor. So even if this language stays, well, council maintains its advice and consent for this new board. It's just that we won't have advice and consent over whose membership shall be terminated and whose would get continued to retain?
Correct. There are currently two boards that have at some point in time received approval of the council to make up those two boards. The proposed language from the administration seeks to streamline that combination process such that the mayor has the authority to select amongst those existing approved members of the of either board to comprise a new five-member combined board. The amendment would essentially say that the mayor would have to send these names to advice and consent for this new board.
All right, and we're not losing future advice and consent either, correct?
Correct.
Regardless of this amendment.
Correct. The question is, in this one moment of time of transitioning from two boards to one board, shall we have a additional review of these appointed persons?
All right. So, I mean, unless I hear something that drastically alters my opinion, but we already had advice and consent on these, so I'm not particularly concerned about having it again on the same people. It's somewhat redundant from my perspective anyway. I understand that I might be alone in that opinion, but that's fine. Councilman Lattiser.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. I'm concerned with this because I'm sure all my colleagues on the council realize that this city council has very few appointments to boards and commissions because we're such a heavy mayoral charter. The mayor has the lion's share of appointments on boards and commissions that make many of the decisions that affect our constituents as well as us. I think that while we approved the members of the Housing Board of Review for that purpose, with that makeup, with those qualifications for that purpose, and we approved the makeup of the Building Code Board of Appeals for its purpose, with the qualifications that we feel are necessary to make those decisions. This is now giving, if this passes the way it is, this gives the mayor, not just this mayor, the mayor in the future, additional control over the boards and commissions. At least in this, and I'm sorry, let me back up. In this particular instance, the mayor would have the sole authority to reorganize the Building Code Board of Appeals with perhaps new members, could be all members, but it would be condensing the Housing Board of Review and combining it in some fashion of five members on the Building Code Board of Appeals. I think that is just another release of advice and consent on the City Council's part and relinquishing that little right that we have on that very few commissions to have advice and consent on new members of that Building Code Board of Appeals. And I personally don't want to see that happen. I think we need to remain with the advice and consent on this rearrangement, which is just as important as the original appointments we approved to each board. That's it.
All right, so just so we're clear, that that's why I asked the solicitor what I asked, to make sure where there's no new members coming. It can only be from the two bodies that we've already provided advice and consent on. Granted, your point still stands as far as, all right, but what about the makeup of this new one from those two old ones? Absolutely true. But there's no new people outside those two pools that can come in under this language.
But they would potentially have new members on the Building Code Board of Appeals. There's five members on that board currently. And we're going to combine the two boards into one. So five people are going to go and five people are going to stay. There is the possibility that the entire Building Code Board of Appeals, as it stands now, could be changed. And you could have the five members of the Housing Board of Review become the new board of Building Code of Appeals.
Right. So all I'm saying is,
there's a possibility to do that. And if that occurs, I would say that this council should have advice and consent or approval over that change. It will most definitely result in a change.
Right. Just let's be careful with the word we're using when we say new. There's no new people that can be brought on under this language that are outside any of these boards that are currently being merged. Yes, the makeup can be different, but there's no new individuals that are being brought in who haven't already received advice and consent for one of these boards. But yes, you're still absolutely correct as far as the makeup of this new one. Have they been given advice and consent on the makeup of the new one? No, you're spot on. No disputing. I just want to make sure we're all clear on that there's no new individuals being brought on. Councilman Napa.
Thank you, Council President. So I agree with my colleague, Councilman Lattiser, relative to...
I can't hear you, sir.
I agree with my colleague, Councilman Lattiser, relative to how this consolidation might affect the makeup of the boards. And even though we have, or a city council in the past at one point did give the advice and consent to have all 10 of these individuals appointed, they were appointed to their particular boards for a particular reason. And I agree if in theory, I would assume that we're doing some sort of combination of individuals to make up the new 5-person committee. By nature of changing the makeup of any one of those two committees or boards, rather, I think that it should come back for advice and consent of the city council in the same way that it did in the first time. Now, I don't think that the administration is doing this with any ill intent. However, I think that it's important to maintain that nod of approval that, yes, this new makeup is appropriate, given that even though they did similar functions, some of these people may be functioning in a way that they weren't appointed to function prior. So in that instance, I would support Councilman Lattiser's amendment.
So, Chief, were you waiting to speak?
Yes, thank you. Bill Facenti, Chief Staff. Director DeCourt just brought something to my attention. It was unknown at the time. The state building code, Rhode General Law, 23-27.3-127.2, local boards of appeals. In accordance with the state law, the 5 members of the local board of appeals that we're going to form has to have specific criteria to be on that board. The current five members of the building board of appeals have that criteria that have already received advice and consent. So the way the state law is written, only those 5 members can be moved to this new board. So the minimum housing board those members don't meet the criteria to be on the local board. So there possibly, Director DeCourt just mentioned there's possibly of a public member. So basically the building board would take over as the minimum housing or property maintenance board. So the discussion on, you know, who goes where, the way it sounds right now, according to the state law, the five members of the building board that currently are seated that received advice and consent by the council would be automatically transitioned to the new board. The mayor would not have, only if there was a decision to not continue on the board by the member, then that would come before the city council under advice and consent.
That sounds like an amendment to me, Mr. President.
So,
put it in writing.
I've pulled up the general laws, 2327.3, 127.2, and it does set standards. The question would be, the administration is articulating that they essentially have a default slate that would be transferred into this, or does the council want to assert a fresh look at the composition of this board, knowing that these standards need to be met? That would be the implication of how to comply with the state law. So your amendment can still be considered as it relates to the combination of the boards, and the selection would be the mayor would appoint five members meeting these standards. They may very well be the same five that exist on this other board, but that would be at the discretion of whether or not the council is trying to insert itself into that process at this time.
So, Mr. President, may I?
So, Councilman Ricks has been waiting, and he hasn't had a chance to speak. If possible, could we go to him, and then we'll do any repeat people? I know it's awkward, but he's been waiting.
My comment is simple. The chief just said the mayor intends to appoint the same five members because of state law. Put it in writing. Then we don't need an amendment. The makeup Fine. Will stay.
Councilman Ricks?
So a couple of items here. First, taking a look at 23-27.3-127.2. I believe that what was conveyed was mostly true, but there does appear to be one exception. So the text reads, subsection A, a board of appeals shall be appointed by each municipality. The board shall consist of the following five members. One shall be an architect. Two shall be professional engineers. One shall be a builder or superintendent of construction. One shall be a member of the general public. So there is some flexibility when it comes to the member of the general public.
Someone, I did mention that a general member of the general public is part of that. So,
pardon me, I must have missed that part. But in any case, that indicates there is some flexibility there in the event that the mayor would decide to go in that direction. But if the mayor had already decided to go in that direction, and I don't see the mayor here this evening, then I would be confused as to exactly why the ordinance was drafted precisely as it was earlier. But we can put that aside for the moment. My other concern here is more of the logistics of it, and this might go to the rationale there as well, is that if there was to be a mixing of the two different boards, that creates a whole logistics issue because they are rotating terms. 5-year terms, each one up one per year. So there's a certain limitation there where practically it would make sense for one board to simply stay on. But anyways, that would effectively resolve that issue, but it would be more limiting. So effectively, we would just simply be eliminating the that second board. And automatically all of the members on it, which, again, I think that the city council, considering that we are adding new duties here, I'll try not to repeat Councilman Lattiser and Councilman Napa too much here and just leave it at that I absolutely agree with Councilman Napa on this point. I'll also just add in there the concern that I raised during the committee meeting that, as the council president had invited me to bring this up during the phone meeting rather than during the committee meeting, since that would be the time for the amendment anyway, the elimination of that one requirement in that same line, if I can find where I had already had this open on my computer. That is the elimination as to the minority party representation. Specifically, that would be the second page, line 38. So, although there is a question about that when it comes to the charter and so forth, potentially, we are not working with right now a potential future charter. We're working with a charter that is in place right now at this very moment. We don't know whether the charter will change in the future or not. So that's why I would want to, as part of a separate amendment, simply reinsert that same line that had been struck on line 38 of the second page. And I'll make that amendment after discussion and a vote on Councilman Lattiser's amendment. Thank you.
So, Councilman Lattiser, well, let me make sure I write down the time. For your amendment, would it work if it simply said, well, let me pull it up. I'll get the. So where the blue language starts on line 38, so upon combining, or rather, it could just say instead the board shall consist of the same five members of the building code board of review or something like that. Does that work for you? Or regardless of that, do you want them to come back for advice and consent, even if it's the same five people?
That's a good question, Mr. President. I'm actually surprised that this discussion is taking place regarding a board that has met twice in the last 14 years. But having said that, to answer your question, if that language were changed, that essentially the combined board would be the same five people that are serving on the Building Code Board of Appeals as currently approved by the City Council, that would work.
All right. So then that would address
that's
that
fine.
One. And then we have, well, we need the other one to be before us to be able to handle that. So, Council Solicitor, as far as the logistics.
Councilman Lattiser seems to indicate that he will approve the a revised amendment language. Part one is going to be the same, which is the adding the slash or on page 2, line 13. The second part would be to modify the language on page 2, lines 38 to 41, and within that preceding sentence, so such that upon the combination, the membership of this combined board shall be the current membership of the Building Board of Appeals.
With the first sentence remaining in place, the board shall consist of five members appointed by the mayor subject to the approval of the City Council. I don't want to be flipping that language around for future appointments. What we're talking about is one time change up. We're getting rid of one board and we're moving forward with the existing board.
Correct. That's fine. Clean up the verbiage with your instruction, but that it would essentially mean that upon the merger, it is the Building Board of Appeals membership that stays on, and all future appointees would still follow advice and consent.
And keep in mind, these members that are currently serving, they've been serving, they have meetings on a regular basis, they're updated with the codes, the current codes, the changes in codes, et cetera, which I would say it's fair for one to assume that a board that hasn't met other than twice in 14 years may not be so up to date. So, yes, I'm happy with that.
Can we just, to be consistent, can we just make sure that you add the board composition to be consistent with Brown state law and cite the section? Just, I mean, in case state law changes, and, you know, I mean, it's up to the council, but.
That's probably a good point.
We can incorporate the statutory cross-reference into that language. And keep in mind, this is a this is an ordinance change, so
correct.
We'll have the ability to see it at a subsequent meeting as we finalize said language consistent with this instruction.
Isn't this always governed by state law? So if the state law changes, we got to change.
It will prevent what happened here tonight, though, as far as it's been brought to my attention now that this is the case.
If we incorporate the cross-reference rather than spelling out that standard as the state adjusts, we won't have to revisit the process of cleaning up our ordinances. So it's a preemptive housekeeping cross-reference.
All right. And do we need...
Mr. President, seeing no lights are lit, I'd move the question.
So is it all right to do that before you finalize on your end?
The amendment includes finalizing language, and to fulfill the intent of this discussion, I can produce that for the next meeting. But you can vote that at this time. And
all right. So on this first part, which is Councilman Lattice's amendment, does anyone else have any further questions or comments? All right. So clerk will please call the roll on that.
Ms. Babbitt?
Yes.
Ms.
Yes.
Foley?
Yes.
Ms.
Yes.
Kirby?
Yes.
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 All right. Now, Councilman Ricks, do you want to just say
amendment to restore the strike through line text on page 2, line 38?
All right. Is there a second on the motion?
I'll second.
All right. Discussion. Seconded by Councilman Lattiser. And so, yes, like I said before, it still stands as far as this is going to hopefully be addressed by the charter vote when it goes to the public. However, Councilman Ricks is correct as far as what we have before us now for a charter is what we have. And there's no guarantee that the voters will pass the charter change as well. So, I mean, I'm somewhat ambivalent as to the proposed change, because if the charter change does go through, we'll have to update stuff in general anyway, because for those who recall, for the charter change, it's not something that's like going to automatically change everything. What then happens is that we as a council have to figure out an ordinance structure for minority appointments at that point. So we'll, among other things, be looking at all of these boards anyway. So even if we unstrike the language now, it's not the end of the world, because it will be addressed then. So, I mean.
Mr. President?
Yes.
Similar to the conversation we were just having about not having to come back and update, if we strike the language in the ordinance as part of this process, we default into the result of, yes, the charter still controls over the ordinance anyway. So right now, the existing charter says there shall be that minority appointment. Wow. That overrules our ordinance. If the voters decide to approve the charter change, we'd have to come back and do a cleanup. So,
I would suggest
keeping the deletion and removing that from the ordinance today. The charter still controls, regardless of whether it's, that sentence appears at this moment, and that will save us having to clean up should the voters approve the charter change.
All right. So, in summary, regardless of whether or not that language is stricken, there will be a minority party representation guarantee via the charter as it currently stands. So the language is, the fact that it's there right now means nothing, because it's already covered by the charter, which overrides the ordinance anyway. All right. So, Councilman Ricks?
As a general matter, I do like it when these items are spelled out in the specific ordinances. Oftentimes, it simply serves as a reminder, because oftentimes, even we as members of the council, we aren't necessarily looking back to the charter every time. And it avoids potential confusion. So it would be a little bit more work if the charter changes, but it's the charter as it is right now. I think it makes sense just to keep the language as it is for the moment. By which I mean keep the existing language, remove the strike through. Although, you know, given the logic here, I don't have the strongest feelings in the world about it. I'll leave it at that.
Fair enough. Does anyone else have any further questions or comments regarding Councilman Rick's proposed amendment to reinstate the stricken language of one member shall be of the minority party. All right, clerk will please call the roll on the amendment from Councilman Ricks. No.
Can I get a clarification?
Sure.
What? All right, Councilman Lattiser had an amendment. Now Councilman Ricks is amending something else. I just want to read it again.
So we can't go into discussion. What I can do, Councilman, is Councilman Ricks has moved an amendment to restore a sentence that's currently being deleted. That sentence is currently already covered by the charter provision, but Councilman Ricks would like to see that item spelled out in ordinances as well. So the question is, if you want that sentence to maintain its presence in the Court of Ordinances, you support the Ricks Amendment. If you disagree or with the necessity for that, it is a no vote.
I vote no. Yes.
Mr.
Yes.
Mr.
Yes.
Mr.
Yes.
Mr.
Yes.
All right. So now this stands before us twice amended, where the
Mr. President,
sorry,
the administration would like to propose an amendment to strike section 6-154 appeal fee, starting on line 16. Going through line 20 on page 2, I believe it is.
All right, and that's because
we don't collect the fee anyway. It's an archaic, convoluted fee of $25 if something happens, and a $10 fee if something else happens. Makes no sense. We don't collect the fee anyway when someone appeals to the Board of Building Board of Appeals or I withdraw the request.
All right, so. This stands again twice amended now with Councilman Lattiser's request implemented and now Councilman Ricks's request implemented. Does anyone have any questions or comments on the proposal as amended? Seeing none, clerk will please call the roll.
Council President?
Oh, sorry, Councilman
Napa. Waiting on their,
pardon? They said they basically never mind, withdrawn. Oh, that's a thank you. That's a good point. So first we need a motion for favorable action.
Move favorable action. As amended.
Second.
Both amendments.
All right. Motion made and seconded. Any further questions or comments? Seeing none, clerk will please call the roll.
Staffing.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yes.
All right. Next, we have PCR 94-25, a resolution requesting the General Assembly amend to the requesting the General Assembly amend to the jurisdiction powers, procedures, and penalties of the Warwick Municipal Court. This is intergovernmental, so Councilman Gebhardt.
Yes, Mr. President, the committee recommended favorable action.
For action, Councilman Gebhardt.
Move favorable.
Second.
Second by Councilman Muto. Anyone have any further questions or comments on this? Seeing none, clerk will please call the roll. Yes.
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 All right, next we have PCR 131-25, a resolution ordering questions to the electors of the City of Warwick regarding the issuance of indebtedness and making amendments to the city charter at a special election on February 3rd, 2026. This is intergovernmental, so Councilman Gebhardt.
And he recommends favorable action, and I'll move favorable action.
So, motion for favorable action by Councilman Gebhardt, seconded by Councilman Second. Napa. All right, so for discussion, does anyone have any questions or comments that weren't already made in the committee?
Take a chance.
I'm going to count Councilman Muto first because he did his little light.
So there.
Thank you, Ms. Pratt. I'll be brief. I just want to clarify some of the items that were talked about in committee. Want to make it clear that I did vote to put this additional $50 million on the ballot just to reinforce that it was passed by legislation 16, 618, and the alternate A and alternate B plans were agreed to in summer of 25. What I find amusing, and what I found amusing during the committee meetings, is that the company that was awarded the $350 million contract would not consider if we needed an extension of time. We established in committee that it's an approximate 2 months needed to process after an election, which would move us to April, not June, as folks have mentioned or said. Thank you. I also question if this measure gets rejected, as many have talked about, then the quote is, then we need to figure out what the next steps are. We're in November. I think we can figure that out. So in conclusion, I believe the reasoning is flawed, and the motivation for this voter suppression is very concerning. If I have the ability, I'd like to make a motion to change or change from February 3rd to April 7th. Thank you.
So normally, I don't blame you on a proposed amendment. The only thing is, this is kind of a weird situation where we have like Board of Elections, Board of Canvassers, and whatnot. You can keep it. Thank you, though. So I'm not sure logistically how we go about doing a proposed amendment as opposed to voting this up or down. Because let's just say hypothetically it voted down as is. It would get docketed again for the other proposed date, and then it would have to go to whomever it has to go to elsewise. So it may make more sense just to vote it up or down as is and then do it that way, but I see to the solicitor on that one. I truly don't know the answer. This is weird. We haven't done this before. Councilman Lattiser?
So Councilman Muto made a motion to amend the date. Do you want a second on that?
Do we want to hear if and how we can do that? Because again, I admittedly sure. Don't know. I know we can amend anything, but I mean, like, from a practical perspective, can we actually amend this without it being a problem, or many problems, I should say?
Voting the amendment up or down is the same as taking.
Second the motion.
Now, yes.
So now you got a second, okay? You ask and you shall receive.
But you were saying, Solicitor, sorry.
It's at the discretion of the council on this matter. I mean, the administration has worked with both the Board of Canvassers and the state to address the pathway for this time. It's up to the discretion of the council to deviate if that's what they wish. From a practical standpoint, the votes on an amendment are probably related to an inverse or, you know, some sort of relationship to what the vote of it is as is. So it's a matter of what steps do you feel like going through.
I think it's important to go through the exercise to get folks on record to see if they're willing to make voting more accessible to our population, to our citizens, for a matter of 2 months, when we know, and it was stated very clearly, that we do have the time to do that if we move to April.
So let's not, what's the word? There's not a nice word for it. Let's not call this something very different than what it actually is. So there's a proposed amendment, there's a second. So we're discussing that proposed amendment as it stands now. I'm just going to go by the lights I see, assuming that those who are lit up wish to speak on it. Councilman Gebhardt.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. I didn't make any comments during committee, but I'll just say this. One of the things that we heard was that there are regs from the Board of Elections on when special elections can take place. I think the chief said the first Tuesday of any given month. So I'm not sure if the proposed date is the first Tuesday or isn't, but that would be one matter for consideration. In terms of the prediction that it's going to snow on February 3rd, I think we did hear also that the manner and how this election would be conducted would be consistent with other elections, and that there would be a early voting period to take place in this building. There would be mail-in military ballots as are available to anyone in any of our elections. So I don't, you know, think one day of the year or of the month is more convenient than another. I do not share the sentiment that this, that the date was selected in an effort to somehow you know, limit turnout to only the people who feel one way or the other about this particular item. If the item motivates people, they will come and vote. They have many different ways to do so. I think what there is urgency on getting to the next step here, and delaying this, you know, so what, February 3rd is 2.5, almost 3 months from now. Moving it out 5 months just leaves the project in a state of uncertainty for 5 unnecessary months. There are shovels in the ground. There are foundations being built. There are plans that hinge on making sure that the state can that the city can fulfill its obligation to pay for the things that we've asked to be built. So really, to me, any delay would be the biggest mistake that we could make. Put this to the voters. If we could have the special election tomorrow, we should have it tomorrow, but it sounds like tomorrow is not an option. Sounds like the first day we can do is February 3rd. So I would encourage us to move this forward, keep the project moving forward. My fear, as with any time anything related to this project has come back before us, everyone, you know, we have certain members of the public, certain members of this body, certain past and present, who use that as a cudgel to try to slow down the progress of this project. And I think what we've learned is that what all that results in is actually more cost to the project. So the most responsible way to move this project forward in the most fiscally responsible way is to get this in front of the voters as soon as we possibly can, and to let them vote in all the different ways that they have at their disposal. Thank you. That's all I have.
Just as a reminder, an April 7th election puts us in a problematic time, given that the approximately 2 month subsequent stuff that needs to get done. It puts us into June, which was the month that was a problem that we couldn't hit in the first place, which is the whole goal of having it in February. Councilman Napa.
Thank you, Council President. So I just wanted to basically echo what you just stated. If we delay until April, I think we're cutting it too close to make sure that we get in to the guaranteed max contract approval and the thumbs up to say that, yes, the city is good for the money. And the estimate of 2 months was kind of off the hip from the city solicitor, where that might be longer than that. I don't know that process. But I know there is some concern about we can just ask for extra time. It's sort of multi-layered, I think, as I'm thinking through this throughout the night, that the general contractor Yes, they've moved some timelines and moved some dates. But now that we have commitments through the general contractor from subcontractors that are ultimately doing the work, those are the sub-companies that are eating the cost and, well, laying out the money for the cost and expenses in their payroll and efforts to get the project done. So taking a vote on what we would hope that the GC could get done through the subcontractors by granting us extra time, I think may not be prudent. If we had a guarantee from Dimio or through Left Field that we could get extra time, then I think the conversation is different. But as it stands before us tonight, one, April puts us, I think, far too close to roll that dice. I think that's a breach of our duty to the public to put that guaranteed price at risk. It's too close. And two, we have to keep it moving forward in a positive manner that we can have predictable. And then if this does go downward and the voters ultimately come out and don't approve, because I agree with Mr. Langseth that there is a chance that the no votes are more motivated than the yes votes, in which case I would urge all of the members of this body to reach out to our constituents, if you are in support of this bond, to make sure that the yes votes get out also. If we put this in a position where the no votes prevail, then we need to allow adequate time for the city and the administration and the school department to work together to plan for what is plan B? How are we going to come up with the extra $13 million, $15 million that we may need? So caution to the wind on this amendment. I'll leave you to your votes.
Councilman DeLuise.
Thank you, Mr. President. I think Councilman Knapper and Councilman Gephardt, they speak a lot of truth. They've, you know, just going on, I've been here for a short period of time. Okay, nobody has a crystal ball, whether it's going to snow, sleet, hail, wrath of God, anything else. Okay, we don't have a crystal ball. But if people are afraid that this is too soon, it's up to the public. The public are going to either show up for it, and they're going to either vote it down or they're going to vote for it. So I think we should move forward with the date. You know, like I said, we don't have a crystal ball, and we can't predict the future. I wish we could, but that's all I have.
Councilman Ricks.
Thank you, President. I'm not happy with how we got here. I'm not happy about a special election in early February at the tail end of winter. But here we are. This is coming before us for the first time for scheduling. And we have to make a decision. And out of all of the possible decisions we can make, I do think that going ahead and allowing this authorization is the best of the options that we have at this time. I think it is very important to address these concerns that Councilman Muto has raised. It's essential that we as a city and we in our individual capacities do what we can to get the word out about this election, encourage people, submit those applications for mail-in ballots if you don't think you can make it to the polls on a given day. Encourage people, participate in this democracy, educate yourself, and cast your vote. Really, that's all I have here. I'll be voting no on the amendment and yes on the underlying item. As unfortunate as it is that it came in front of us in quite this way. Thank you.
Councilman Foley?
Seeing no new lights except for Councilman Gephardt, who's already spoken, I'd like to call the question.
All right, so Councilman Foley has called the question on the proposed amendment by Councilman Muto. So clerk will please call the roll on the proposed amendment by Councilman Muto, which to recap would move the special election to April 7th as opposed to February 3rd. So clerk, please call the roll. Sorry.
Mr. Sanabi?
No.
Mr. DeLuise?
No.
Mr. Foley?
No.
Mr. Gephardt?
No.
Mr. Kirby?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. Muto?
Yes.
Mr. Napa?
No.
Mr. Rick?
No.
Sorry.
No.
Was it emphatic? No.
All right, so now it stands before us the original question, Councilman Foley.
Agenda item.
All right, motion for favorable action made. Is there a second? Councilman Gephardt, second. Is there any further question or comment on the motion? Is it new?
Try me.
Okay, let's go. What you got?
Thank you, Mr. President. I just want to say that while I'm not wild about the date of this election, I will be voting in support of it. Because as some of you that are on this council now heard me several years ago calling for a new election when the sales pitch was very different than what was delivered. The cost escalated immediately after the election. The voters didn't get the opportunity, they weren't afforded the opportunity to re-vote on the real book of business. They ended up having to live with what they were sold. I want them to have this vote regarding an additional $50 million on top of the $350 million bond that they already owe, they already own. I want them to have that opportunity, and it looks as though it's going to be our job to make sure that the word gets out and do whatever we can to encourage the voters to go to the polls and vote on this bond. So I will be supporting it.
All right, seeing no other further lights on, clerk will please call the roll.
Mr. Sanabi?
Yes.
Mr. DeLuise?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Kirby?
Yes.
Yes.
Mr. Muto?
Yes.
Mr. Napa?
Yes.
Mr. Rick?
Yes.
All right. Does anyone have anything for unanimous consent? All right. Seeing none, someone want to move us to the docket session?
Move us to the docket session.
All right. Motion to go to the docket session. Is there a second? Second. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? All right. To the docket session we go. Ward 1. No, he already did it because you were distracted. So Ward 1's good. Ward 2?
Pass.
Ward 3?
Pass.
Ward 4?
Pass.
Ward 5? Ward 6? Ward 7?
Pass.
Ward 9? And I think I don't have anything, right? Nothing? All right. So then Ward 8 passes. So we're adjourned at 9:08 p.m. Councilman Lattiser had a good point. Happy Thanksgiving to everyone. Enjoy the holidays. Be safe.